go ahead and make sure everything else is turned off. It'll be a good time for other people to check, I guess. Who here knows? It's going to sound like I'm making something up.
Yeah, what?
This is going to sound like I'm making something up. Who here has heard of a spirit of weakness?
Infirmity.
It sounded like something made up. It sounded like something like, you know, Bethel or Reading, somebody comes up, they'll say the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of this. And I'm like, you just making stuff up. But I learned something today about, there's something called the spirit of weakness. And who said that? Who calls it the spirit of weakness? Somebody who is the most accurate at translating the Hebrew and Greek into English. His name is Joseph Rotherham. He's not perfect, but he did better than anybody else. Lionel Messi. Is he a perfect football player, soccer player?
No. Best.
But he's the best. Rotherham, are there errors? Yeah. But he's still the best. And so we're going to be learning about a woman who had a spirit of weakness. And started today, I got a word of knowledge on a scripture, and then I went to go look up the scripture, and I went, what's a spirit of weakness? Another translation is going to say a spirit of sickness or infirmity. And it's going to be, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 13. And if any of those are not being used, Dad might enjoy looking at one of these. So he knows I'm not making stuff up. I got a reputation. But Luke chapter 13, you can use your Bibles or use the handout too. And we're going to be doing kind of a word study on really four different words in this scripture. And use this this study to apply to our own lives. Because nobody in this room has what this woman had, her infirmity. But we can learn from it and we can apply it to ourselves. Nobody in this room has ever been born blind and now you see. None of us has actually walked on water like Peter either, right? But we can look at it and we can learn and apply this. And with Yahweh's word, the point when you're reading it should always be, how does this apply to me? My father's tongues of the interpretation is really, really important. Because when you don't know about tomorrow, and you don't know about your future, you don't know how things are working out, and you're stressed. Well, I don't stress. If you're moping, you're stressed. Go back to what you're supposed to be doing. Go back to the little things. It's like homework and stuff. If you had any idea what you'd be getting yourself into with this degree, you'd probably, aren't you glad you didn't know? It's just one step at a time. Start getting in deeper and deeper. I spoke with the physician at my birthday party. He goes, if I had any idea what was required to be a physician, I would have not have done this. I said, so do you regret it? He goes, nope, not a bit. I'm glad I didn't know. And so what we can do in our own life is, your number one objective is be obedient to the scriptures. And how you do it matters. Have you ever been told to do something for your parents and they didn't like the way your face looked when you did it? I've been told that. Change your face. You're obeying, and it's your heart. And in this case, I'm not going to say any of us is doing like, but it's more like, I love you. He's like, you kidding me? You're depressing me. Get out of here. And that's me. And I'm talking about me. Your number one job is to rejoice. Again, rejoice at the beginning. How you do it? It says in Psalms 100, enter His courts with what?
Praise.
Praise and thanksgiving. You should be focused on Him first. And what does He deserve? And does He want people moping? And if you're played school where somebody goes, we're not going to win. You ever been on somebody on your team? We always lose. It's not going to work out. And you're looking at them. You got to go. It's contagious. Get that stuff out. But our infirmity, at least with me, and I'm a part of this teaching with me learning, is an infirmity I have is fear. We call it being shy. It's fear. Or I'm allergic to that, or I really don't like that. And a lot of times it's fear. My dad called it out. I've been shy my whole life. No, it's really fear. I don't like that word, fear. Yeah. Call it what it is. You shouldn't like it. You know, okay, great. So here's fear. But in Luke chapter 13, verse 10, Yehoshua, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, And lo, a woman having a spirit of weakness. See the footnote? Okay. Now, in a lot of other translations, they're going to say a spirit of infirmity. But even then, you go, wait a minute, this is very unusual words for Yahweh. A spirit of illness? A pneuma or ruah of illness? Is this a demon? I don't. But it's not. We're going to look at what Rothman's going to translate weakness. A ruah of being weak? What exactly is this? And I don't necessarily know. We're going to take a look at some of these words and see if we can apply them to ourselves. What is a spirit of weakness for 18 years? And why does Rothman say a spirit of weakness when a lot of other translations say it's a spirit of sickness? She was sick for 18 years. You see the footnote I... not in the Bible, it's in the handout.
Okay.
But you go down, the first highlighted footnote, you see to the right, is going to, how you're going to pronounce this, as then I-ah, Strong's number 6 or 769. What's the first translation of this word? Want of strength, weakness, infirmity. Wow. Now let's just look at, some more of this word, Strong 769, a weakness of the, a spirit of the weakness of the body, feebleness of health or sickness in 1B, or the soul, a want of strength, a capacity. How many people here have been crushed and they don't know, they don't want to go on anymore? I don't know if this is worth it. I got to get some positive feedback because this is about it. You guys ever been there? Can you relate? Yeah. All of us can. And here's a spirit, she's being crushed. And how long has she been like this? 18 years. There's things, not in your life, but in my life, and my parents and people a little bit older, that we've stressed about for decades. It's the same thing. It's taxes. Mm-hmm. Or it's your kids. Or it's your bench press. No, I'm joking. I don't have that anymore. But going back and go, do you have an infirmity that has been following you your whole life? With my wife asking me to let her personal trainer train me, I didn't realize that I probably had an idol in my life until she asked me for it. I'm going to let somebody else train me that I don't know and he doesn't know what my objectives are? Mm-hmm. And I sat there, your wife wants it. She doesn't know what she's asking. But then Yahweh goes, if you don't give this thing up, this is an idol. Okay, all right. So it could have been that one of the things that followed me around is your exercise has gone too far. Your kids have gone too far. Your spouse has gone too far. What is it? So the balance. Sports, whatever it is. And now she had this spirit of weakness for 18 years, and she was what?
Bowed together.
Bowed. Okay, so see the footnote, go down to 2. What is this word? What is it? What exactly does it mean, bow? And so Strong's number 4794. Can you guys see how to pronounce that? It looks like...
Songkutu.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Okay, what is this word? The first translation, to bend completely forward. Can you imagine being stuck like that? And when I was in Kenya, I got to see some stuff like this. Completely bent over. Do you know what that... What would that even be like? You can't look up. You ever been trying to read and you can't get your eyes right? Or the TV's at the wrong... I can't read like this. And here you're stuck like this. How long is she stuck? 18 years. And you look at this. What is this word? Completely bent over. 18 years. It's a spirit of weakness. What is this thing? I don't necessarily know. And she was bowed together, unable to lift herself up at all. And seeing her, Yehoshua called her and said unto her, woman! Do you know what's important? Could Yehoshua have called her if she wasn't close to him? No. If you're not living in fellowship, if you're not in the Word every day, if you don't have somebody, like my dad did a teaching, because if you don't have people correcting you, you don't have friends. And I went, wow! People are correcting you? Good. It doesn't mean they're always right, but that means that they care about you. And go, wow, but if you're not near Him, you don't know when you're going to get sick. You don't know when somebody you love is sick. You don't know when you're going to get a phone call about somebody's life or something. And then all of a sudden, ah! Is he near you? No, he's not. And when I was your guy's age, I was a mess. I was always going in a circle. Help! Help! I'll be good. I'm successful. Help! Help! Until I'm like, when I get 16, then I'll get my life in order. When I'm 18, I'll get, when I'm 25, once I get my first car, and just this whole cycle that I've been through. But you've got to be near him. You've got to be close. Otherwise, she would have never been healed. Fellowship with light. And seeing her, Yehoshua called her to say, "Woman, thou art loosed." Now let's look at this word. This one's, I highlighted it.
Apollo.
Apollo. Okay, good. Apollo. Now this one's really, really neat. I highlighted it in bold, and I'll send you the PDF. These words. And how could this apply to our own life? Woman, you are loosed to set free. How many of us in here need to be set free from something? Mm-hmm. Is it a habit? Is it stress? Is it the same old, or whatever the thing is? You can go down. Another translation for this word is to let go or dismiss. That word dismiss is very important. Because my father did a teaching on that, and you know what forgiveness means? It doesn't mean you're forgetting it. It means to dismiss. It's over.
Yeah.
Still there? I'll, we're not talking about it again. Ever again. Just to dismiss it. Verse 3, to send away. Sometimes I get mail to me, to somebody else at my address. Do you know what I do? I don't open it. Return to sender. And then I laboriously go stick it back in the mail. Send it back. Send it away. Number 3, to let go free and release. How many fears and cares could we... We're going to go before Christ. And if you compare yourself with me, you're going to miss it. I'm not the benchmark. And I'm not going to be there when you go before Christ or you go before Christ. What's he going to look at and go, why didn't you fix that? If you compare yourself with me, you're going to miss it. And you're going to be like, well, I was comparing myself to Aaron. Aaron's a mess. Compare yourself on me. And the Apostle Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. There you go, okay? And can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying that? Who was speaking through Paul?
Christ
to us. Who had a heart for Christ more than anybody? It would have been the Apostle Paul. And I wonder if when those words came out of his mouth, if he started to cry. You're going to compare me to you, the closest thing to you? I can imagine Paul going, whoa! He's not arrogant. He's not haughty. He's lowly. He's been beaten all the time. Oh, wow, compared to Christ. Look down at 3C. This other word to loose. Indulgently to grant a prisoner to leave or depart. Get out of here. You're going back to Venezuela. These prisoners, they're gone. We just sent prisoners to Ecuador, Salvador. Thank you, Bukele. It's the president. We got people from Venezuela. President Trump calls Bukele the president, and he puts people to hard labor. And he goes, we got prison gang members, the most dangerous people in the world. You want them? Cuanto cuesta? What are we talking about? We're going to remove tariffs to do this next. Send them on down here. Did you hear what the story was? So he's sending these Venezuelans, the most dangerous people, like some of the most evil people ever. And a judge finds out and he orders them to return. The president of El Salvador looks and the judge says, ordered him to return it. And he put, oops, too late. Push away. He had to deal with President Trump. But here's this guy. But that is to let go, release. Those guys are gone now. Mm-hmm. What do we need to get out of our lives? Or could it be sin? Then four, used of divorce also. And this interesting with this because Strong shows that this also was used. The wife of a Greek or Roman may divorce her husband. I don't know why that's in there, but that is very interesting because women didn't have a whole lot of rights. And in the Christian covenant too, is it okay for a wife to divorce her husband? Yeah, if he breaks the covenant, you get two or three witnesses, and you go, "What is going on here?" You confront the husband and go, "Is this true? You committed adultery, or you're a drunkard, or you're doing drugs, or you're doing this?" And if he's not going to repent, he can't remarry. You're off the hook. And how would she feel if you were forced to divorce somebody who broke their covenant? You'd be like, I'm so glad that is over.
Yeah.
It's like the divorce, it's gone. And what would you do with an ex that starts threatening you? Hey, why don't we go out to eat? Block. I'm not talking to you. And that's what we should be doing. And so as we look at this, okay, now we'll go down to verse 13. He says, you're loosed. Did it happen? It appears it didn't happen immediately. In verse 13,
it says instantly.
Oh, okay. So I haven't read 13 yet. So I'm on 12. So, okay. Okay, but after he laid hands.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to paint a picture. He spoke. He said, you're loose. Then he laid hands on her. Instantly, that's great. She was made straight. What's this word straight? Go to the last page. This last word. Vero, would you pronounce it?
Anorto.
That sounds good to me. That sounds a lot better than me. Strong's number 461. What is this word? Would somebody read? Okay, somebody just read what this word means. So it's not just me. 1, 2, and 3.
To set up.
To set up, make erect.
Make.
How many people are stuck in sin? Have you ever been there as an adult?
Oh, yeah.
And you get delivered, and all of a sudden he goes, you're set free, don't do it again. I'm free. I know about you, Aaron. I confess that. It's gone. This is a new man. I got delivered out of college, and I didn't know what was going on in my life. All I knew is I was going to die if I tried to live like everybody else. And so I made a run for it as fast as I could. Everybody hated me, just like I thought. And I just got to go, I just got to focus. I got to get out of here. What I didn't know is that Yahweh was going to use me to do a butterfly effect all across campus. Years later, a guy comes to the church, or a really neat believer, his name is J.D. Seamster. And he goes, and he was really in the Word and this and that, and he was inspiring your father to get back in the Word. Yeah, I'm wondering if you guys would exist, because your dad got back in the Word. It turns out it was after I took off running. Ah, how do you? Because JD said, Aaron, when you left campus, a leader, a chieftain, a captain of the evil people, not proud of it, he goes, everybody else realized they could get out too. Sin is slavery. You're a slave. And how many times are you're with people, they're doing the wrong thing, and you're like, I really shouldn't be doing this, and we're weak. And so I have no idea that other people were counting on me. But that was me. I got set free, and then it says also to set up straight a deformed person or to build anew. How many things are in our lives right now are we carrying, each one of us? Not compared to us, not compared to other people, but when you go before Christ, you say, why are you carrying that? Mm. Well, it's my burden. I rebuked you. I told you, you're carrying around something I told you to let go. It is dragging you down. It's okay. No, you're not doing your job. Yeah. Do your job. I'm doing my job. You're moping. You're sad. You're depressing. The angels that are around you don't like to work around you. Dan Bongino, he's the chief of the FBI.
Yeah.
He got quoted. He was Secret Service for Hillary Clinton. Can't say anything about Hillary Clinton. He goes, let me tell you about Hillary Clinton. This is back in the 90s. He said, she hates us. She hates everyone. This is Hillary Clinton. You're going to go, okay, and just explain that. But here it is. We're going to go before Christ. What are you carrying around? What am I carrying around? And I don't think any of us would be carrying around something intentionally.
No.
But it's just sometimes we're missing it. And then that's where we go back to Philippians 4:4. You're commanded to rejoice. Again, rejoice. You're depressed. You're overwhelmed. Good. Number one, first thing you do, act like you just won a state championship. Rejoice. Act like your daughter just won the state championship. How would you act if you do it? I don't feel like it. It's not about what you feel. It's about what you owe. Because that life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Christ and Yahweh. And 2 Corinthians 5 says He died for you so that you would live for Him. And what does that mean? It means you die. Every day. For the rest of your life, you die. What does that mean? You don't have to literally die, but he's asking you to carry a cross. He's not asking you to be tortured and beaten in humility. Can you imagine Yehoshua? He was probably completely naked. If you're torturing somebody, where do you hit somebody? In the testicles. You know what happens to guys if you keep hitting them? His testicles will be swollen up. It's horrible. And his mom's there. You know how humiliating your mom's seeing you like this? Jesus Christ did that for us. He's going to ask you and you and me to carry a cross each day. And sometimes it's going to be tolerating somebody that doesn't deserve it. I can't do it anymore! They don't deserve it. No! Do I? Yeah. Yeah, let it go. Let it go. Now here's with me. So me getting delivered. I got two things. I can't get them worked out. I can't fix them. And I'm dealing with them. I'm not emotional when I'm thinking about it. I'm just doing it now. And just, this is not getting fixed. It's not going the way that I thought. Neither is this. And every day, it's still there. How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? Stressed. Although I didn't know how bad it was. And so I go to a pastor's meeting. At the pastor's meeting, the guy's witnessing, and I'm like, I haven't been praying in the morning like I have. I run and pray, and then I do 45 minutes of abs where I speak in tongues and I pray. I haven't been doing that. I go, okay, I gotta get that back. So I wake up late for work. What do you got to do? You got to go run. You got to be obedient. And I got to know, sing. That's just me talking myself out of going and running and praying. I have an excuse not to go exercise. I don't want to go run. Sing. So I give a morning song. And when I sing, and I might get through with a good voice, I want to at least sing something I'm good at. Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to sing a song you don't know? A happy birthday song? No, that's natural, right? That's me too. She's teaching me some songs in Spanish. I can't speak Spanish. I feel like an idiot. But the thing is if I'm going to sing you a song, let me do something I'm good at. And do you know most of the times he does? He goes, no. G. D. It doesn't sound good. E. Do it again. And then here, okay, do it again. As I'm doing this, the birds will start flying and looking at me. They'll fly away. I'm like, here's Yahweh. They're coming over. I'm going through this chords. I'm like, okay, this is starting. Okay, can you feel anything here? I can feel a melody, and it doesn't sound good. And it's like the words were like, okay, what am I doing here? Okay, all right, what's going on in my life? What's going on in my life? And as I was speaking, Yahweh spoke through my mouth and wrecked me. Because I was just like, what's going on in my life? I'm not stressed. I'm not crying. I'm not being embarrassed. I said, what's going on in my life? And then the words came out, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Boom. I dropped. You're afraid. I'm afraid? Why did I just start crying? You're scared. Mm-hmm. And you're carrying something you're not supposed to be carrying. And it's upsetting me. Confront it. Live in the moment. And so I'm sitting there going, okay. I'm scared. Okay, I didn't say that. I went to your guys' house one morning and your dog acted like it was going to kill me. Your dad hits it. Shut up. Does it again. Shut up. And does it again. Starts growling. I'm going, what the heck? Your dog's demonized. It's a really nice dog. It's a lab. And then your dad hit him again and then he rubs on me. He goes, he's just scared. And he's scared. I think he's going to kill me. And sometimes for you women, men look very angry. And sometimes when you see a guy really angry, you know what it is? They're scared. You call them out and call them scared, they're probably going to be really offended. But you go, okay, but with me, it was fear. And then he had a long talk. You obey me one day at a time. Okay? You got that one day at a time. You focus on me and you quit moping around about these two things because you're scared. So, okay. So, now we'll turn to Matthew chapter 11. But the point is, even with me getting broke down, was Yahweh, when I got that breakdown, I started crying. What is that? All of us have experienced that in here. Do you know what that is? It's a breakthrough. You're finally at His feet.
Not to break down.
Yeah, he told me, he confronted me, I'm scared. I went, was he running that day? No, he wasn't running. Was he doing abs and speaking in tongues, listening to you? No, he wasn't. He was outside on the porch waiting for me. And we got to pursue him and humble ourselves to say, what am I missing? Nothing? Okay, I'm going to get... Really? Wow. You're grading your own paper and you think you're not missing anything? Really? If you want to do a good job of grading your paper, you go, where did I miss it? And you start editing and looking for the errors. And I got to do my own papers all the time with work. And it's very annoying. Now I go, no, where is the error? And instead of going, oh, great, error. No, great, I found one. That's one, two. And that's what we should be doing each day. And where should I be going? And Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Get somebody to read that for me.
Come unto me, all ye that toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because meek am I and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Mm-hmm. For my yoke is easy and my burden light.
You know, I got a prophecy at the prophecy seminar in the 1990s of a woman I didn't know. John Lane gives me a prophecy, and Christ says, I want to mentor you. I've never forgotten it. Why? I got an inner witness, the Ruah's inside me, and you remember some of these things, huh? The other one was, my burden is light. And here it is, lowly. But give it to me. Sometimes we're carrying a cross we're not supposed to be carrying anymore. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. Here's something that's real important for married people. Shawna, you're not going to be married when Christ comes back.
Yeah.
You kids know that? Whoa, wait a minute. I remember I was witnessing to a girl and those words came out of my mouth and she didn't know that Jesus Christ goes, they're not going to be married in the resurrection. And I told her, she goes, you mean my parents are going to be divorced? What? And I never thought about it that way. I started thinking and I never thought about it. And I go, no. They're not going to be married, but I guarantee you their relationship will be better than anything through the marriage. There's no way when you're married and you're having to carry somebody else's burden and they're not doing it, they're not going to be there. Where's your focus? Focus. Focus. Where's your target? Look. Christ is coming back, and when does He come back? Any moment. And when your spouse, a good thing for the kids, when your spouses aren't going to do what they're supposed to be doing, what are you going to do? My whole world's my husband or my wife or my kids. No, it's not. That's just a part. It's a chapter that you've been entrusted with. Mm-hmm. And if you're worthy with Him, He'll give you more.
Yeah.
If you do this with Him, like King Saul did, then he's going to be like, man, you just missed it. Because Saul was training for the next life. David was training to be a king in the next life. And he succeeded. Nothing could get that guy down. Why? Because this life is going to be gone, man. It's going to be gone. And if I'm going down, I'm going down in a blaze of glory. You're going to come and get me? Okay. You know what happened? If me and my dad and Elijah, if people were going to break into this house, and we got, and Yahweh goes, this might be it. You know what we would do? Let's make it good. Right? This is it. And that's how we should live each day. Each day focusing on Him. And focusing on Him. And focusing on Him. Psalm 55. So I'm learning. My wife's been very good at confronting me about this. My face. We're buying a car. Guy walks up and she's like, your face. What? This is very serious stuff. You are not manifesting Christ right now. And she's going, you got to work on your face. Because when you're not really smiling, Aaron, you look like a very, very angry person, like something's really wrong. What is that? That is her helping me and correcting me, going, okay, I'm supposed to be an advertisement. I'm like, really? Guy comes back, I gotta apologize. It just happened again. I'm hurt at the gym. Some guy introduces himself to my wife. Then he comes over and wants to talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm really irritated. I got an injury. I'm lifting 10-pound dumbbells, Elijah. How frustrating is that for a guy? And he wants to talk to me and have a conversation. I'm like, hey, I'm being humiliated. It's nice to meet you. He kept talking, but Vero corrected me. She goes, your face. Your resting face. You got to fix it.
I told you it's not his fault.
That's right. And it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. But people should be able to go, you got to work on your face. Why? Because maybe you're being auditioned to have a face to go before King David in the next life. Yeah. Maybe you're being auditioned to work for somebody like President Trump in the next life. Maybe you're going to be close to Christ or Moses. What kind of employee are you going to be? And we learn, okay, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. For nothing, be anxious. And go back to Psalms 55. Let's see, 556. Yeah, so Vera's been very good at helping me with that. She's very good at correcting me. I had a lot more errors than I thought. Verse 55, verse 22. Dad, would you read that? 55, 22 Psalms.
Cast upon Yahweh thy lot.
Footnote, see the footnote F. What's lot mean?
The care, anxiety.
Anxiety, okay. Cast your lot, it's good.
And he will sustain thee. He will not suffer to time's age of body the righteous one to be shaken.
Do you know what to be sustained means? It means he's going to get you there. On a piano, there's something called a sustainer that will allow the chord to keep going, and with the piano, you got pedals to stop it. You see, the guitar, they go like this, they stop it. The sustain, go like this. How many times are we not going to be sustained? You think you're going to make it, and Yahweh's going, when he corrected me, you're not going to make it, Aaron. You're burning out. Your anxieties are on you, not on me. Get rid of the anxieties. Stretch. Set yourself free. Are you bound and loose? Are you hunched over in your life with an infirmity, or do you have a problem with your face like me? Psalms 119:72, and it's. So you got to be close to him. You got to be in fellowship, and then getting delivered of a spirit of weakness or infirmity or any kind of infirmity. Would somebody read 172?
Better to me is
what do you mean 172?
119.
Yeah.
172.
You said 72.
Did I say 72? Sorry. I did. I wrote 72 also. Yeah, Elijah, would you read 172?
172.
Yeah.
My tongue shall respond with thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous.
Do you know what the right response is, guys? The word. Do you know what Yahweh loves? The word. But if you don't have the word in you, it can't come out of you. Memorize the scriptures day and night. And then when you go to him, you say, I'm so stressed out about softball. Am I ever going to start as a varsity player and get that scholarship, the WSU, whatever you're worried about, you're going to go, but I know that if I cast all my anxiety on you, I will live for today, and you are worth it. And then you, except I didn't quote a scripture. It would be better if you had a scripture. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your considerateness be made known to all men. The Lord is near. For nothing be anxious, but in everything let your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving be made known. And Yahweh, so the point is, have scriptures in you during this process so that you can respond with it. And he's listening to you. And how you say it, as your little siblings ever answered incorrectly but close, and you wanted to say no, and your mom goes, no, it's good enough. There's things that he sees your heart and he'll work with you. You'll go, that's good enough. That's good enough. You guys are so much farther than I was. When I was 19 years old, I couldn't read the King James because everybody around me said, you can't read the King James. It's so difficult. They had thous and these. Who could ever memorize that thou meant you and thee? That's how low my standard was. You're reading a Rotherham when you're 7 years old. deliver yourself, evaluate yourself, and if you humble yourself, Yahweh and Yehoshua will show you the things to work on. And it's one day at a time. How'd you do on it? Did you get better? And then the other thing is, look for other people that are spiritually stooped over. Especially people that look like, and they look and they act really happy and this and that. Sometimes they could be the ones with the worst infirmity. And you ask Father, are they okay? Because then you go, and a great way to minister, especially somebody you don't know, somebody. How are you doing? My name is Elijah. Yeah. Find a reason to talk to them. I like your Nikes, or I like your camo. I like your Crocs. I like your backpack. Find a reason to talk. They're like, thanks. Can I pray for you? They say no. Woo! Start praying for them, and then you give them a prophecy. Boom! The easiest way to possibly get somebody, because then when they go, what the heck was that? You go, you think that was great, Nicodemus? Come and follow me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Esther's birthday. Knowing my sons and my daughters, that every day is a chance for you and I to build something new, like a father and a son with a brand new kit car. That I get so excited for each one of you to wake up. And I wonder if you're going to come to me to ask what the project is. I want you to be diligent. I want you to be organized. I want you to make your own plans. But I always want you to check in. For I am your father, and a father and a mother love their children to still need them. They don't want them to move away and never see them again. How much more so your perfect Father who has never left you. Amen.
Amen.